going to be reading from Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But fornication and impurity of any kind or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is proper among saints. Entirely out of place is obscene, silly, and vulgar talk, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Be sure of this, that no fornicator or impure person or one who is greedy, that is, an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not associate with them. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's an anthropologist and humanist named Loren Isley. He says, there is nothing more alone in the universe than man. He has entered into the strange world of history, of social and intellectual change, while his brothers of the field and forest remain subject to the invisible laws of biological evolution. Man, by contrast, is alone with the knowledge of his history until the day of his death. So it is, Isley would suggest, that we have been thrust out of the self-contained and self-imprisoned world of impulse and instinct into the worlds of thought and self-transcendence. We are of the world, out of the dust and minerals of the earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And yet we are not of the world. We are a mind reflective and a spirit roving and free, and a heart looking and longing for fulfillment in another heart. We are mind and spirit seeking earnest responses in other minds and spirits. Many people today spend their lives in desperate search for happiness, for pleasure, for fun. Many people in our society are simply bored. They mope around fantasizing about some secret joy that lies out there somewhere. Young man says to his father, I'm looking for adventure, excitement, and beautiful women. And don't try to stop me. And his father says, who wants to stop you? I'm going with you. The ironic thing about seeking pleasure is how little joy it really brings. In fact, those who seek pleasure the hardest, those who seek that happiness the hardest, are really the most unhappy people. If you want an example of this, go back to the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. And in the first words of the book, it says, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Solomon was a very wise man. When God asked him what he would like God to give him, he didn't request riches. He wanted wisdom, knowledge. So he's an extremely intelligent man. But he had an awful time trying to find happiness. He did everything he could think of to find happiness. First, he thought it was about being intellectual, about being smart and having great knowledge. And I guess you couldn't argue with that, because we appreciate people that have a lot of knowledge, people that are very wise. But Solomon writes, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me, but I learned that this is only a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Think about that. That's kind of odd. The more knowledge, the more grief. But I guess if you kind of look at that realistically, and in James, it talks about how preachers and teachers are going to be held to a higher standard because they have more knowledge. And that can be kind of disconcerting at times. So maybe he's right. Maybe the more knowledge, the more grief, because you know more about how things should be and aren't. He went from seeking knowledge to seeking pleasure. He says, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, he says cynically, it's madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? Then he tried the path of alcohol. He says, I tried cheering myself with wine. But this also produced frustration. And in Proverbs 1, verse 20, he wrote, "What wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise." Alcohol didn't do it. Intellectuality didn't do it. So he thought, I'll take on some projects. So he built great houses for himself, planted vineyards, made gardens and parks, and planted all kinds of fruit trees. Still, he did not find happiness or satisfaction. From there, he decided he was going to accumulate more wealth. He says, I bought male and female slaves. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. But still, he did not find what he was seeking. Then he tried sexual pleasure. He says, I acquired male and female singers and a harem and the delights of a man's heart. It's been told he had 1,000 wives and concubines, but still did not find happiness. He lived a greater and larger life than any of us could ever imagine. He says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. But all of his pleasure-seeking and happiness experiments fell flat. And that's why he talks about in Ecclesiastes about how everything's meaningless. It's all chasing after the wind. It doesn't matter what you do. You're not going to find happiness. He says, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and all I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. You ever felt like that? You try and try to find happiness. You do different things to seek happiness. Society today has gotten into a real problem with trying to find happiness in a bottle or in a pill, and it doesn't work. The problem with that is we're looking for happiness in the wrong place. We're looking for happiness in the world around us. And that's not really where happiness is. That's not where true joy is. St. Paul knew that. And St. Paul wrote about that in the verses we read this morning. He tells us to be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Do not be foolish. And what he's getting at is it's not about the things around us. It's not about how much you have. It's not about drowning your sorrows in alcohol or pills. It's not about pleasures of life. That's not going to bring you happiness and joy. Paul is telling us it's about how you live in Christ. It's about how the Holy Spirit is inside you. That's where you're going to find true happiness. And we see in society around us today, so many people out there trying to find that happiness, trying to fill that empty spot, when all they have to do is seek Jesus. And we can help them do that. So Paul knew exactly what Solomon was talking about. And we think to ourselves today, what can we really believe in? What can we really count on in life? And again, Solomon says, vanity, vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity for us, all chasing after the wind. We wonder sometimes, what can we believe in? What things around us can help us? And there really isn't anything around you that can help you. It's all about spirituality. Sometimes we may think to ourselves, the older I get, the less I find things to believe in. What can you really believe in? We look at our lives as we grow and we get to midlife and we think, what have I accomplished? What am I going to accomplish? And when we get a little bit more mature in life, we look back and we think, what have I accomplished? And am I ever going to accomplish anything? And we wonder, what can we believe in? And then there's the saying, never trust anyone who says, trust me. I can make you happy. There's not really anything new in life around us. Oh, there's all kinds of neat little gadgets and things. There's not really anything new in life around us to make us happy. And if Solomon recognized it, Paul recognized it, then we should be able to recognize it. Our daily lives become routines. It's the same thing day in and day out. Paul gives us a couple of ideas on how to do this, though. He says, if you want to find lasting happiness, first of all, be smart with your life. Be careful how you live. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What the Lord's will is. That's where happiness is. He says, I'm not really concerned about the wine and the beer and all those things. He says, because they're not going to do anything for you. And that's good advice for today. They're not going to do anything for you. So essentially he's saying, don't be stupid. Don't do those things that you see society around you doing, trying to find happiness. Because your happiness is in your immortal soul, in the Holy Spirit. In 1991, Mario Van Peebles directed a movie called New Jack City. And they were showing that in a theater in New York, and Mr. Van Peebles was there. And they got to a point in the movie, there's a scene where illegal drugs change hands. And he says there was a black man stood up in the audience and hollered at the screen, don't do it, man. Just say no. And that's what we need to do sometimes. It's just don't do it. Say no. And I know that was real cliche here a few years ago. Just say no. But it really is true. Just say no. But Mario Van Peebles was thinking that that movie apparently had an effect on people. This man that stood up and screamed at the screen had apparently been through this before. He knew what it was all about. And so maybe that would help touch other people. There's a man named John Morley who traveled from England to Canada to give a speech to a graduating university class. And he began his speech by saying, I have traveled 4,000 miles to tell you that there is a difference between right and wrong. Of course there is. We know there is. There's a difference between right and wrong. There's a difference between the truth and a lie. There's a difference between doing what's right and doing what's wrong. Chuck Swindoll tells a story of a scam that went on in New York City. There was a couple of men who had gotten a hold of some Macy's bags, Macy's being a prestigious department store. They got some boxes and some bubble wrap and some bricks, and they managed to get a hold of some stickers that say factory sealed. And so they put these bricks in these boxes, enough to weigh about 2 pounds, sealed them up, bubble wrapped them, sealed them up, and put those stickers on there that said factory sealed, and put them in the Macy's bags. Well, they went into the Holland Tunnel, and when traffic starts to get real backed up in the Holland Tunnel, they started approaching cars. And they would tell the driver that, hey, I've got these brand new Sony Handycams. Macy's sells them for $999, and I managed to get a bunch of them off of a FedEx truck. But I'll sell it to you for $90. And of course, traffic would move up a little bit. And the guy's nervously looking around like he's going to get caught doing this. And then he says to the driver, he says, but I tell you what, I'll sell it to you for $45. And he actually managed to sell a few of these boxes of bricks for $45. And Chuck Swindoll talks about these guys that were doing this, asking them, well, don't you feel bad about ripping these people off? And one of the men said, no, not really. He says, because those people that are giving us the $45 and getting ripped off, they're just as guilty. Because I told them I stole these off of a FedEx truck. They knew they were stolen. They did the wrong thing just as much as I did. And he's really kind of got a point. We know right from wrong. And if somebody walks up to you, whether it's the real thing or not, and says, hey, I've got this stolen Handycam, and it's worth $1,000, and I'll sell it to you for $45, you better turn and run. Don't be foolish, Paul tells us. Not as unwise, but wise. Don't be foolish. Don't get caught in those kind of situations. Sing and make music from the heart. That's where you're going to find happiness. Not in something that you thought was a $1,000 stolen Handycam. We have to rely on the Spirit. We have to rely on faith. Paul is adamant about singing joyfully from your heart, because that's where gratitude and love in the Holy Spirit is. And that's the other thing. Gratitude. It's being thankful to God for the things that He does give you. It's being thankful to God for the happiness that He provides for you. I don't know how many of you at Christmas watch all little classic movies. One of the classic movies we like to watch is White Christmas. Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. What you might not have caught is there's a song in that movie by Erling Berlin, and part of the lyrics go like this. When I am troubled and cannot sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep counting my blessings. Now that's a good formula for happiness. That's a good formula for being able to sleep at night. Count your blessings. Be grateful. Be thankful to God for the things that He provides for you. It's not necessarily about material blessings. It's not about exceptional health. It's not about having straight A children. It's not about any of those kinds of things. It's about being grateful to God for giving you happiness and joy. There's a young Australian mother who was very well off. Her and her husband were pretty wealthy. They had beautiful children. But she was not a happy person. She was disappointed with her life, felt like it was going nowhere, and didn't know what to do. A counselor told her one day, what you need to do is every day as you're going through your day, look for things that you can be grateful for. Things that you can thank God for every day. So she decided she was going to start a little project, and she nicknamed it 365 Grateful. She started taking pictures of things every day that she could be grateful for. And it didn't take long for her to figure out her life wasn't as bad as she thought it was. She actually had a pretty good wife. She had convinced herself that her husband was not a very romantic person, didn't really care about her, but she discovered as she was taking pictures of things and looking for things to be grateful about that her husband really did care about her. She had pictures of him helping her at the dinner table. She had pictures of him and discovered that when he would cut up the pie for dessert, he always gave her a bigger piece. She found out that life wasn't as bad as she thought it was. And we need to do that. As you're going through your daily life, look for those God moments. Look for those thank you moments. Because they're all around us. You just have to look for them. God wants us to have happiness and joy, but He wants us to have it in the right way, through the Holy Spirit, through Him, and through His guidance as He leads us through life. G.K. Chesterton once wrote, "The test of all happiness is gratitude." And that's really what it's all about. You want to be a happy person? Trust in God. You want to be a happy person? Let the Holy Spirit lead you. You want to be a happy person? It doesn't mean go out and buy that $50,000 car on the car lot. It doesn't mean go out and buy that $500,000 mansion that you're going to rattle around in. Finding happiness means following God and looking for little blessings around you. Because they're there. Count your blessings. Look for those God moments. Have a grateful heart. Paul says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything." And that's what happiness is about. We're not chasing after the wind. That's an impossibility. Jesus even tells us, you know neither where it comes from or where it goes. You can't really chase it. But you can chase God. And you can listen to God and follow God and be joyous and happy in that knowledge that He is there with you. And you are grateful. And you know where you're going. You have eternity in your future. And that's something to be very happy about. Not everybody can say that. So it's not about chasing after the wind. It's about chasing after God. It's about looking for joy and happiness in Christianity, in spirituality. And that's where it's at. Amen.